Welcome to the Bidwell Presbyterian Church Podcast. The church is located next to California State University, Chico. For updates on services, congregational care, and community outreach, please visit our website at bidwellpres.org. The following sermon, Simeon, part of the series The Characters of Christmas, the unlikely cast that welcomed Jesus into the world, was given by Pastor Greg Cuzzone on Sunday, December 26, 2021. May you experience God's grace and joy on the journey.
Let's pray together. May the words of my mouth, O Lord, and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. And may your Holy Spirit make these words become the living word for us today. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. The sermon title today is Just What We Needed. Just What We Needed. And as many of you might know, this day is St. Stephen's holiday in the Catholic Church or throughout the Christian Church of the world, where we remember the martyrdom, the first martyr of St. Stephen. But you might have also heard that it's called Boxing Day. Boxing Day, and I always thought that meant that after you'd gotten all the boxes opened, this is the day you recycled everything, right? But I recognized actually when I did just a tiny amount of research that Boxing Day is actually a day that traditionally gifts were given to the people who had to work on Christmas Day. So the people who were laboring, the people who served, and that sort of thing. And of course, what else do we do on December 26th? We go back and we shop, right? That's probably what December 26th means for a lot of people. Yeah, tired. I heard a yawn there, I think. I want to ask the question today, and I really am asking this of myself. What satisfies us? What would fulfill us? You see, December 26th, there's often this sense of disappointment for me, or at least a little bit of sadness. You know, I really, really love Christmas. I love Christmas trees. I love driving down Broadway Street. And by the way, isn't it funny we call it Broadway Street in Chico? Like in New York City, it's just Broadway. Anyway, Broadway Street, and you see the lights, right? I think that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And I do a jazz show on NSPR, North State Public Radio, on Monday nights. In December, I always play great Christmas jazz, which is amazing. Like one of the greatest albums ever recorded in the history of jazz. And I really mean that, was a Charlie Brown Christmas. There's not a single bad note in that entire album. I love Christmas. I love the presents. I love the songs, the secular songs, you might say. As I said, some of the jazz tunes, some of the more deeply spiritual songs. A Soulful Messiah, I love that, which is a reworking of Handel's Messiah. Handel's Messiah, this beautiful oratorio about the birth of Jesus as Messiah and the foretelling of it. But, you know, I also recognize that there's this question that goes on, did I get the perfect gift, right? Because that was what was supposed to happen. Did I give the perfect gift? And I can tell you one Christmas when I was very young, I recognized that no gift is going to ultimately satisfy or last. I was so excited about what was called, at the time when I was a kid, a Blippo Choo Choo. You can look it up. It's like a little train called the Blippo Choo Choo. It's actually, I've seen the videos, they're amazing, of the commercials for the Blippo Choo Choo. And I was so excited. I wanted this Blippo Choo Choo. I think it must have been like I was 3 or 4 from what I can tell of the year. And the Blippo Choo Choo came, but at the same time, my cousin Andrew and his family came for us at Christmas time. And so I opened the package and I started playing after we opened all the packages with the different gifts. But the big thing was this Blippo Choo Choo, this little train that I, as a kid, was just so excited about. And then my cousin Andrew played with it and broke my Blippo Choo Choo. And as I recall, there was not enough money in our family to replace the Blippo Choo Choo. So I never got a chance to play with it again. Everything breaks down. Everything breaks down. And one of the great parts of the tragedy of Christmas is that we begin to reflect on something more than things. Because I don't mean to rain on anybody's parade today, but things and gifts really aren't that connected with the biblical story of Christmas. And I'm so moved. By the way, I already said I love all those things, right? I love gifts. Nothing wrong with giving gifts, but I'm just saying, as far as like the biblical text and the teaching of Scripture, giving things is not really a big part of Christmas. Yes, the wise men, the kings, the magi, they give gifts to Jesus, but as far as us getting stuff, not so much a part of the story. I was so moved by A Charlie Brown Christmas when I first saw it as a kid, and I've been moved ever since. And I think our head of staff, Henry, has been moved by this because we heard about it at Christmas Eve and the Sunday before. And he was right to emphasize it because there is so much there. So I want to add to that because I'm going to keep going on this train, as it were. Because in 1965, Charles Schulz saw what was coming. And I'm always so moved when these great cultural commentators can tell us what is going to come in our culture. He highlights the problem of consumerism. Here's what Charlie Brown starts A Charlie Brown Christmas by saying, talking to his buddy Linus. I think there must be something wrong with me, Linus. Christmas is coming, but I'm not happy. Do any of you feel like Charlie Brown? I don't feel the way I'm supposed to feel. I just don't understand Christmas, I guess. I like getting presents and sending Christmas cards and decorating trees and all that, but I'm still not happy. I always end up feeling depressed. Feeling depressed. So he goes, and he goes and walks down the street, as you might remember, and he sees his friend Lucy, right? Linus's sister, and she's got a little stand where she gives psychological advice for 5 cents, right? But before he can begin to talk, she says, you got to pay your 5 cents, right? 5 cents, please. And then he puts it in her little jar and she starts shaking it, right? And she says, boy, what a sound. How I'd love to hear that old money plink. That beautiful sound of cold, hard cash. That beautiful, beautiful sound. Nickels, nickels, nickels. The beautiful sound of plunking nickels. Charlie Brown, and even more, Charles Schulz, saw what was coming. Christmas, Christ's celebration, was gradually getting consumed by consumerism. Charlie Brown thinks, my dog. I can go see my dog, right? But you remember the next scene? He goes to the doghouse, as it were, and he sees Snoopy's doghouse all decorated with lights. And he says, Snoopy, what's going on? And Snoopy hands him a piece of paper which says, find the true meaning of Christmas with money, money, money. Spectacular, super colossal neighborhood Christmas lights and display contest. Charlie Brown just says, lights and display contest. Oh no, my own dog gone commercial. I can't stand it. I think you get the point of where I'm going here. You see, it's not so much I think that we even always seek the wrong things. I think we're so distracted that we can't possibly keep our eyes on what is most important. I was walking down the stairway, I think it was last Sunday actually, and I was walking next to one of our church members. I said, how are you doing? And he said, I think I'm doing okay. I'm not really sure how I'm doing. I don't have a chance to reflect. There's so much going on, right? And that seems to be our experience of Christmas. And one of the blessings of this day, where we reflect on what has this season been like And where have we put our hearts? Where, in fact, have we put our treasures? Simeon, who's our key person in this Christmas story, the final character in the Characters of Christmas series, he talked about fulfillment in a way that I find just refreshing still in 2021 in Chico, California. And here is the takeaway, just in case I'm going to miss the target. We are fulfilled when we seek the right things. We are fulfilled when we seek the right things. And we are so often distracted by consumerism and busyness during the season that even if we look for the right things, we don't see them. So listen for God's word from Luke chapter 2. And I'll be making a few comments as I go along in the text. So we start with Simeon. And the context is that Mary and Joseph, as good, pious Jews, are fulfilling the law, what they were commanded to do by God. Verse 22, when the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, that's in Leviticus in the Old Testament, chapter 12, Joseph and Mary took him, Jesus, to Jerusalem and presented him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of Moses. Again, book of Leviticus, chapter 12. And here Luke quotes, because his audience probably didn't know the Jewish law. They probably were a mixed group that he wrote to, of both Jews and non-Jews, Jews and Gentiles. Here it is. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, to offer sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. So we want to just note here that what's happening is they're doing a purification rite, but purification may not be quite the right word. It's almost, and this is hard for us to understand in the time we live, but there is actually a sense of something so holy and powerful has happened that it's almost like you have to be cleansed of that experience to transition back into normal life. Childbirth was seen as so powerful. And when I was reading about this in the Jewish Study Bible, trying to understand it, and also with the commentators, Fred Craddock and Eugene Boring. What a terrible name for biblical commentator, Boring. I mean, that's terrible. Anyway, they were saying it's almost like people coming out of a space flight and they get cleansed because they need to return to the life that they are leading in their normal world. And that's the sense of purification. It's not like there's sin. It's like something so powerful and holy has happened. And then the other part of it is you see that it's a pair of turtle doves. This indicates, by the way, that Joseph and Mary were poor. So usually it would be a lamb that you would give, but here it's turtle doves. So that was allowed for in verse 8 of chapter 12 of Leviticus. We move then to Simeon, whose name in Hebrew, and this is amazing, this is like the whole sermon in one name, Shemael. Shemael. I don't know if you are Old Testament scholars enough to or have heard this before. Shema means to hear. Shema, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Shema El. El is a word for God. Hearing God. His name means to hear God. Now there was a man in Jerusalem named Shemael, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That's the word, by the way, used for the Holy Spirit, the consoler, the parakletos. I guess it's December 26th. I can start spewing Greek and Hebrew. I don't know why it's happening, but there it is. The consolation of Hebrew, this counselor that comes alongside the parakletos of Israel, now in the person of Jesus, and that spirit, the Holy Spirit, was on Shemael. He had been revealed, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. That's where holy things happened, was in the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was the custom, and the custom of the law required, Simeon, that's the Greek version of Shemael, took in his arms this child and praised God. He said, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. Just gotta love that. At the end of his life, he's seen everything he needs to see. He knew what he wanted. You can now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother, that's of course Mary and Joseph, marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon, Shemael, blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined," and by the way, just take in what's being said here. It's not like, your child's going to do great. He's going to get all A's and get lots of stars and win all kinds of trophies and get all these accolades. Look what this child is going to do. It's kind of a salty word, right? This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many, the falling and rising of many in Israel, to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And just in case there's not enough challenge there, and a sword will pierce your Mary's soul too. Callings can be very challenging, and sometimes even the best calling can be challenging for parents. We see there at the end this promise, Laura read it earlier from Isaiah 49, that Israel would be the place that the Gentiles would see this king come. We saw it happen in the reading from Luke 2 earlier that was read throughout this season, but especially on Christmas Eve. The Magi, these leaders, these priests of the monotheistic Persian religion of Zoroastrianism were drawn by a star. The people outside of Israel being drawn in to what is happening by the Messiah, who is not just the Messiah for one people, but for all of the world. Oh, this is good stuff. But it is Boxing Day, and I want to come to what this means for us. Come to a bit of a close. How do we look for the right things in life? I'll tell you what's really helped for me, and this may not work for you, but I'm just going to give it to you, that what helps for me is something that the great thinker, the great Christian spiritual leader, Augustine said in the 4th and 5th centuries AD. He said that when we order our loves right, then our life is ordered. It's healthy. When God is our first love, we can love Christmas trees, we can love hymns, we can love good food, we can love packages, but when we love Christmas trees and hymns and songs and jazz and even Charlie Brown Christmas more than we love God, our life becomes a place of disordered loves. And so it's about getting our loves right. Augustine said, when our loves are ordered under the love of God, the giver of every good and perfect gift, then our life is put right. And this is kind of a preliminary to what we're going to be talking about with restoration. When our love of God is right, then our love with neighbor is right, then our love with the earth and creation is right, and our love with ourself is right. The only way we can love ourselves is to know that God loves us. Because there's a lot of junk in myself, and I've been a pastor long enough, there's a little bit of junk in other people's lives too. So we can't really love ourselves unconditionally, because it's only God's love that gives us the ability to love ourselves. At any rate, it's when we order our loves properly, Augustine said, our life comes together. Now, if, again, you think this is not a biblical thing, Jesus said it so clearly. Do you know what he said? Matthew 6, 21, one of the most wise and practical verses in the Bible. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, a lot of us are really pious, and we want Jesus to have said something different. Pious, and not in a good way at this place. We want Jesus to say, where our emotions are, where our heart is, where our emotions are, that's where our treasure will be. Actually, he said something very different. This is key. He said, where our treasure is, there our heart will be. Do you get what he's saying? If you love your Christmas tree, you're going to spend time putting up that Christmas tree. If you love your car, you're going to spend time with that car. If you love jazz Christmas, you're going to spend time with jazz Christmas. Right? Your heart begins to move over after these things because the treasure, your heart follows. We want to reverse it. We want to say, listen, change my internal life first. Actually, Jesus didn't say that here. He said, change where you put your emphasis. One of the things about Boxing Day, it's a day where we give away, traditionally in the church, to the poor. Where we change where our treasure goes, our heart begins to follow. If there's one thing I took away from Simeon, and I hope that we'll take away, that he knew where his heart needed to be. He knew what was the true good news of Christmas. I want to quote one more time from The Grinch, which I read earlier, because I think Dr. Seuss said it so well. The Grinch, who thought he could steal Christmas by stealing the things that so often take our heart, instead of these eternal values and activities and actions of seeking what God wants. At any rate, that's a little bit of theological Grinch. What Grinch actually said was, and the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? He couldn't steal Christmas from the Who's. It came without ribbons, it came without tags, it came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled and puzzled till the puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. What if Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store? What if Christmas perhaps means something more? I think we read and we've sung what it means and what our hearts can seek, which is what Simeon sought in the Christ child. There is the satisfaction for our hearts. And when we get that right, Christmas, the greatest Christmas gift, that is what we received. And we will continue to receive. Would you join me in prayer? God, we thank you for this, this amazing passage. I guess part of the tears for me is that I just wish I could take on what Simeon was able to take on. So often I know I fall short of really seeking what abides and putting all the ordering of my love in that perspective. And so God, we open ourselves to you. We open ourselves to follow what are your priorities in life, and we recognize that it's easy to become distracted. And so once again, we sing of the joy of this season. We sing of the goodness of the Christ born to us. We sing of your love come down in him, a love that cannot be taken away. Bring that gift once more in a fresh way to us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.